I'm glad that you started listing your questions, and I'm happy to respond to any of those. Some of them I followed up with online today. I don't know if everyone saw the response. We were kind of under siege today with people coming in for exemptions, but I thought I'd get stuff out as quickly as possible for you to read. The reason the town needs a revaluation at some point is that we are probably in violation of the law. I don't walk around saying that, but technically that's what happens when you don't adjust for equity over the number of years, which has been 30, that we've not had a revaluation. The reason that we would do 100% is that we've never spent the kind of money we're going to spend and go halfers on something like this. I've never heard of anyone turning down state aid, you know, because they want to be at 75%. So the next question is, what would happen when there's a robust market like there is right now? And that gives me pause as well. We've been slow rolling this because, you know, the money has been there since 21, and we could have done this 3 years ago at the height of the market. And to me, that was really unpalatable, as much as I'd like us to do a revaluation and reset everything to go forward with. And the reason I said that is that often towns will end up above 100%. And I know that really, it's one thing to be under your EAT rate, but being above 100%, it's very hard for the population to understand and to articulate. And it's, you know, it takes enough work with people to help them understand when they're under the EAT rate, but for some reason that's much easier for a homeowner to deal with. If you're at 50% and you're at 100% mark, you know, 100,000 market value, you can do the math in your head. Okay, that's why my assessed value is at 50,000. But it's much harder to do if it's over. So it's not the end of the world, but I would hope if we can go forward with the last 3 years that it might not be too punishing. But if we don't use the money that's there, our window of opportunity closes, and I would hate to see that. Mm-hmm. Kirsten was kind enough today to do some research for me, and she is digging into whether these funds have any, you know, ability to be committed to and then expended, you know, at a different time down the road if you had a commitment. For example, if we were to have a commitment from a vendor, would it be feasible to kick this down the road until 27, for example? Then we would have several years of, you know, more of a balanced thing. I don't think we'll be at a total balance even by 27.
But the hard earned funds would have to be spent by 2026.
By the end of 26, technically, is what our understanding is. What we don't know is whether there is any wiggle room for, you know, commitments for what we would do in terms of committing money ahead of time. For example, for the flyover, it's 15 and change a year across 3 years, you could make a payment of $45,000 up front, you know, for the initial oblique flight that we're going to use for the valuation, and then try to negotiate an extra year because you're paying up front. You know, people want to get something for that. But it's to our advantage to expend the money, you know, and use it while we have it and can define it. So that's sort of what I was thinking today. And then we also started looking at the Champlain pilot funds. You know, if for some reason we couldn't, it was really important to the board that we try to delay, you know, slow roll this for another year or even 2 years before we start it, then how would that money play into it? And there, we have a legal query out on that as well, because there's always restrictions on these pilots and things, or often restrictions. So we'll have some answers for you that probably fairly soon. That's a sizable sum. I think it's 270 something.
For the first year.
For the first year.
Yeah, and that's a 30-year pilot, right?
I believe all the IDA.
Yeah.
Or this is an IDA.
Have we got it?
This is like a blended.
Yeah.
Weird one. So I think There are some options if this becomes the critical factor. Ideally, I think, you know, it's never going to be perfect. We already lived through COVID, and we've had other budget issues previously that have restricted us from trying to go forward with this. And there have been terrific assessors at the helm for this town. I can attest to how well they did by the files that I look at every day. Sue Golden, she, you know, all these people would have been highly capable of performing it. There was just, it's the funding is a very heavy lift, and it's only getting more expensive as we've, you know, experienced since we put it off this long. So what I'd like to do is sort of parse how important that component is and see if we can resolve that. If that's the, it seemed out of all the items that were shared at least today and in the last couple of discussions I've had with people, that the most valid point is that, you know, is not just part of the ongoing usual reval process is the whole market situation for real estate. We have no control over that. So you have to weigh, is it better to do it when the market's relatively high and live with that for a number of years if it starts receding? There are many scenarios that, you know, you can visualize happening. It'll take a while for the market to recede. There will be, then it usually goes to a balanced market. I mean, I'm old enough to have lived through many of the ups and downs of real estate. And usually you fall off a cliff and then you start recovering. This has not been like that at all. So it looks like we're going to slowly recede, maybe achieve some level of balance if the rates come down a bit so that it's not a total seller's market. And that would be good. It would help us ease into the new figures, and it wouldn't be like falling off a cliff and having them look outrageously.
Well, it's a 3-year process anyway, isn't it?
It's a 2-year schedule, what we would do.
Yeah.
So we would kick off immediately with an RFP and try to get through that process by the end of spring, and then we would be in the data collection process, which is quite lengthy. Ideally, then, I mean, there are so many. I've sent you the calendar before. You can look through it. It's great for insomniacs. So you can see that just is a lot of, you know, work that has to be done. And it's been a while, so that will be challenging. But there are really excellent vendors out there. And the final role would be targeted for July 26. Sounds like a long time, but it's a lot of different activities going on, all of which are not controlled by us. It's a lot more controlled. The state is involved. They help to run reports, and everything has to balance out to their satisfaction. So the vendor is involved. They have time restrictions and capability limitations. So, you know, you need time to make it all happen, to collect everything. We have almost 6,000 parcels. We have more split merges, you know, so that's not, it's not a definitive number, ever changes every year, but that's generally the price point that we're looking for using in our quote. And that's how we would proceed. I don't, you know, I've been looking at the town numbers for 10 years. I really think that it's reached a point where your assessor is somewhat rearranging deck furniture on the Titanic. In a humorous way of saying it, that we're just in a losing proposition on certain properties to be able to support them at this point. And in some ways, a robust market has really helped us because it gave us a lot more high-end sales that helped bring our very low 1992 levels up with some level of support without going to the asking price, you know, the sale price, of course. But it's sad because towns then leave the rest of that on the table. Someone is, you know, spending $1 million for the house and we can support it for, you know, So you are, in some ways, leaving money on the table, I guess is the best way of describing it. And you could not necessarily increase, you know, our taxable. No one ever guarantees that from the rebound. But you would certainly pick up additional inventory. You know, we've had periods in code that there has been no code, you know, in certain turnover situations. I think we lived for several months, you know, certain turnovers with zero permits happening, and that spreads fast. So, you know, I know, I'm realistic, I know that there's stuff out there. You know, people who don't have permits for things probably, so, you know, there is a lot to be picked up. I think that the inventory we have is respectable. I don't think it's hideous, but I would be surprised. You know, we'll see how that plays out. But you kind of get a feel for it over time by what people report. And ours has not been hideous. And the current code group is very active in collecting and enforcing. So that spreads a good message that helps us a great deal in that. So I don't want to go on about the specifics of it. I think the bigger issue is what are your concerns and whether I have any answers for those issues that weren't dealt with today.
So I'm Brian Kozlowski.
Hi, Brian.
We've met before,
nice
but I just want to make sure you know I was speaking to you, maybe not JR. I've painstakingly over like the last couple of days gone through and looked up statistics online, mm-hmm. and I'm sure you know as well, since 2020, we can go on the date of 12/1/2020, and maybe things started getting a little antsy downstate, and right up to the present, you know, according to my, what I found was about 476 properties in the town of Catskill sold. 30% of those were residential, and they sold well over the asking price. How do we combat that when we deal with, you know, somebody who's lived here 30 years?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And granted, their valuation is going to have to come up because we're not, you know, 30 years, well, we are 30 years behind the curve in that sense,
right.
But, you know, people are concerned that all of a sudden they're not going to be able to afford their house anymore.
Well,
that's a reality.
I think it is reality, and even right now, a lot of people can't afford their houses. That's something to keep in mind.
Right.
And we have to question, you know, does every senior person that's incapacitated, is that the appropriate place for them to stay in our tax burden even now?
Right.
So.
And where do they go?
I see financials all day, every day in this season of renewing exemptions.
Mm-hmm.
So it's something that I'm highly aware of. There, I think part of that, though, is a misconception to always worry that the lowest priced properties are the ones that will go up the most. It's not always that case. And our assessment, to some degree, and I will never say this if there's a big audience, is becoming probably less out of whack with equity. But, you know, it's probably not going to hit any one class of housing. There will be some that go up, some that go down. Things have sold even in that price point mm-hmm. of property. And what happens during robust periods is that, I would say, it floats all boats, especially when it lasts this long. Many, many hideous properties are renovated.
Mm-hmm.
They would never be worth, even without a revaluation, what they had been worth prior to being,
mm-hmm.
you know, bought and rehabbed. That's really good for tenants' inventory, for your tax base. And I'm not saying that that isn't an issue, but there are also exemptions that work for individuals who are in need. We raised that value to $43,000 and change this year, which brought quite a few more people in that, and the mandatory postcard that was sent out in addition.
Mm-hmm.
And it was
My other concern is when we give them those tax breaks, after we just raised it, what was that reading, $1,000 or whatever?
$1,000.
We just raised it, then we gave it back technically on paper.
Well, that's a state, there's STARS, a state program.
I don't follow you there too much.
Yeah, no, I'm not quite sure where I'm trying to go with it, to put it in words, but my main concern was the over-asking price issue, and one of them was so obscene, it was $450,000 over the asking price.
It's all out there.
Yeah.
On the other hand, we have some perfectly normal sales that occur that are arm's length.
Right.
So, from our statistics, we don't use exactly what the realtors are using. Mm-hmm. We only use arm's length, and so we have to look very carefully and qualify what sales we're using. So we're probably not looking at exactly the same data,
right.
But by and large, it showed a drop off. Nothing to jump up and down about, but mm-hmm. It was a relief for me to see it because we've had nothing but up, which means that our eighth rate goes down. And this year, I already had a discussion with the state. The state is now setting our equalization rate, which they do with everyone, but particularly with people who are undervalued. And our residential rate is now under 30, which has been a moment I've been dreading. I have to use that in grievance to support anybody who comes in and, get my interest. Why this ban is now, if they are uncomfortable with their taxes. And the overall rate that is normally used for everybody else in every other category is still in the 30s, but we've sunk down to the low 30s from 36 and a quarter where we were this year. And just a few years ago, we were in the 50s. So this has been one heck of a ride, and from an assessor's viewpoint, we're just very fortunate to have had very mellow grievances. I think people are just, it's been so long, that they don't think about the implied market rate because their assessed values, by and large, physically aren't changing, but the implied market value is. So it does make us vulnerable to people like Aventine, the guy from Westchester, who sends a, mass mailing and picks up all of the individuals who he covers the cost of filing for whatever he wins in the grievance. Every year we have more of his grievances. First year was 3, next year was 6. Now we were up to 11 last year. So that will only increase. And, for me it's a warning flag, that now we're going to be, more active in grievances. And then the big box thing, we are able to defend big box a lot better when we have better assessments on them. So that will help with some of the tax certiorari. But sometimes they just file every 3 years, and that's what their attorneys advise them to do. And that's a way of doing business for them. In my mind, nobody else pays the weight of the taxes that they pay. I mean, I sent you what Walmart paid last year in taxes. There are no exemptions on them any longer. Those have expired. They were business exemptions up front. So I just try to look at it as a business. I don't hold any grudges. Those are great conveniences for people who live here. They don't have to leave the town. It brings other people into the area, and they spend other money here for, peripheral businesses and so forth. So this may help a little bit with Big Box, but... The middle commercial, they have not been reassessed fully in many, many years. And I think it will be a really big communications job to reach out and get them to participate. We will actually ask for their IMA statements, and I hope that some of them will participate so that we can, create the formulas that we need for our local values on that. Otherwise, we go to using generalized regional values as a fallback. So that would be probably the area that would be the biggest question mark in my book.
Did you happen to follow Athens reval?
Off and on, yeah.
How about with Athens, Jen, with that whole situation there?
Well, we don't really have an Athens, Jen. I try to watch my own plate in this whole thing. Every community has various hard-to-assess properties. We don't have anything even approaching an Athens, Jen.
No, I'm just using them as an example. Did you read what was going on here? Oh, sure. Back and forth, so, you know, that could be the same thing that could happen with Walmart, too, though.
No.
If they wanted to
charge. Totally different. Athens Gin is a unique property.
It's a pilot.
And you would have a utility person come in.
They can't do that.
For reevaluation.
And there is just, the problem with Athens Gin is there are very few comps for it. Walmart has millions of comps. They're all selling all around us. You know, we have to go to Albany for them, but that's perfectly acceptable. So it would be very different. The closest thing that might require a utility, which the state provides as part of their, you know, something we get from the state for no cost. Well, you know, and they would provide perhaps say if the quarries proved very, you know, hard to get an answer for. Quarries make a big difference if they're producing. If people say they're not producing, you have to have factual data to back that up, and, you know, it makes a huge difference in value. So, you know, our things are quite manageable compared to an Athens Gin, at least in my opinion.
My other question was, if we didn't have the ARPA funds, do you think we'd be doing this right now?
Well, that's a very good question, and that's why I was checking to see if there are options, because
the money's only good until 2026.
Right.
We're saying possibly postponing it until 2027, so then the funds would be obviously off the table by then, because 2026 is going to be close.
Use it or lose it.
So my thing is,
or it goes to something else. Huh?
Right, and there's nothing saying you have to go to 100%. That's just what...
Well, actually, you don't get state funds, and I'm loath to leave anything on the table if you don't go to 100%. And just to clear the air on that, 100% does not make a difference. You're not in any better situation by going to a half major.
No, I was just reading your notes from 100%. Reevaluation resets at 100 doesn't necessarily mean it's going to go to a full assessment. But it says most full evaluations reset at 100%. So that's why I was asking that question.
Right. It would be exceptionally strange to go to 90% or something, even with a robust market. You either pull the trigger or not, you know, to move forward.
So my question was, if you took the ARPA funds and we didn't do the reassessment now, you know, just using this as an example, if you don't use the funds now, right, you could use it for infrastructure, right? Or you could use it for an ambulance and stuff like
many
that.
Many different categories.
So the money that we may have set aside now for an ambulance or for a town truck or for highway or whatever it may be, you could use those ARPA funds now. The money that's already in our bank account for the town itself would obviously wouldn't be spent because you already used ARPA funds. So the money would still be in there. You could collect the interest on that money, right? And then reeval at another time to see if it would be feasible.
Well, I spoke to your budget expert today, and I'm not sure there's that much money sitting there, with the exception of the possible Champlain.
Well, what I'm trying to say is whatever money's in the ARPA funds now that we'd be using, we could use that money to buy other things that the town would be buying now out of the personal account, you get what I'm trying to say, out of the town account, which then gives you time to do more assessment on this, to do it at a later date. I'm not saying it doesn't need to be done.
Right.
I just didn't feel that it was the right time.
Well, it's something that would not be guaranteed in terms of how much you can nail down money with a budget. But I'm not an expert in that either.
And I would think you'd be able to use that and collect interest on that on top of it while the money's in there.
I don't think you'd be able to use highway funds.
There are a lot of restrictions on
what's that.
That has to say in highway, you can use it for that.
Well, I'm just using that as an example. I'm not saying we'd take it out of highway. I'm just saying as an example of the whole.
So this is the one and only time we have an opportunity not to use tax base and tax dollars to pay for the
how much you do what I've just mentioned.
No, because we'd be using tax dollars.
Right, but...
This is a gift from the government versus tax income.
And this is a PR gift that most towns don't get in terms of presenting this, because when people complain about revaluations, part of it might be because they're anxious about their own taxes going up. The other part is focusing on the cost of the revaluation. So it would wipe out a big plus for the town in terms of how well it's planned.
I mean, if we had kicked this down the road for the last 30 years, we could have had the reval done for probably $200,000 10 years ago. So who knows what it's going to cost in two more years? It probably could be $700,000.
Well, once again, Kirsten is here. She'd be able to try and figure that out first.
No, we don't have that much money.
No. Going back to the ARPA funds, yeah, not
right, but ARPA can't be used for everything that we want to buy. ARPA is only used for certain specific things.
Right.
So, one, yes, could you use to buy ambulance? Yes. But now that's... We're saving tax dollars by not spending that.
And that's what I'm trying to say. You make interest on that in just that one area. Now, if you use money elsewhere for other things that needs to be done, like infrastructure, right, you could do the same thing, just like we were just talking about, correct?
We're not going to, like he said, if they cut the chips, we're out.
If they cut the chips like it's in the budget proposal, we're going to have to make up that difference or not pay as much road. That's something.
But that could happen anytime.
Sure, any.
So that doesn't happen. That could happen even if we're doing a reevaluation.
Right, so this is the one time we have the money
in house
to pay for the refund. We can, because we haven't done it in 30 years, and for the last 30 years, to try to work
chips stuff.
If you haven't taken it, okay.
No, I'm saying you do.
Because that's our budget for this year, and if it disappears, that's a lot of money.
No, I understand that.
I mean, the town government, the town of Catskill, has been deficient for the last 30 years in doing a reval to the public. These people that are terrified that it's going to make their houses unaffordable are incorrect. The vulnerable part of our community already has exemptions. And it's just going to level the playing field to these people that have been in their house for 30 years and are carrying more of the burden of the tax base than they should be compared to these houses, people that have been in their houses for 2 years that spend $600,000 more than the house next door. My grandmother in Smitten is on the river. She's been in her house since 1962 when they built it. There's five houses around her that have sold for over $1 million. You want to bet who's paying more taxes down there? My grandmother.
Anything else?
Okay, you know my email. So let me know if you are interested in pursuing that, perhaps a conversation with Kirsten and think about feasibility, you know, if there's some approach there. But here's the window, if we stay on the present schedule. When you did the resolution for the RFP, it was assumed that we put the calendar in so that we had that target 26 date, and that we would release that RFP before the end of February in order to get the vendor process going. In order to meet that date, we would have to have that light flyover relatively soon in the spring. Obviously, the vendor would need to know that. There's only two vendors, and they're both, you know, totally booked in terms of getting our light in when there's not snow and when there's not foliage. So there is a window on these things, not just for the ARPA funds. So if it's imperative that you feel the robust market is a really insurmountable factor, then we should explore slipping it at least another year and seeing what we can manage with ARPA. But if it in any way compromises compromises, ARPA, I think that it would be a real shame not to use that for the revamp. I just feel like it's so rare, you know, that kind of money floats into your coffers, and this is a very expensive project. So. Anyway, thank you for your time. I really appreciate it. I'm glad to meet the two of you that I haven't seen yet.
We can probably, you want to keep the Friday?
Yeah.
Oh, yes, that's fine.
Yeah, and maybe we can coordinate something with Kirsten.
Okay, good. Bring your own coffee.
Wow, yours is good. Yours is good.
I don't know if I have enough Keurigs for you guys.
Nice to see you. Thank you. You're getting an email. Good night. Good night.
Ted, is there anything you want to weigh in on the whole thing? I mean, your experience and knowledge and...
Just real quick, and I would like to know what you would say about this. I don't think, I do a lot of real estate, we do a lot of real estate. I don't think, I don't have a crystal ball, but I don't think there's going to be a big correction.
No.
I don't see any indication of a big correction. Is there a tiny correction? I don't even know if there's a tiny correction. I think this is it.
Yep.
This isn't like 2008.
No.
This is it.
This is where you're at now.
I think.
Yeah.
That's what I would say.
I tend to agree with you there.
I think this is as slow as the economy is going to get.
I think if you had 3-bedroom, 2-bath homes, and they were 250 to 300,000, and you had 50 of them, they wouldn't even be one available tomorrow. That's just what I think.
Yep.
And unfortunately, that wouldn't exist anyway. But.
So that if you're thinking that maybe there's going to be a correction, you would hesitate. I don't think that's going to happen. And it's not happening.
My main concerns are how the all the houses that sold over the asking price is going to affect the reval. And in my research, I didn't even choose houses that sold for the listing price either. It was over or nothing. And that was 30% of the inventory.
That's a lot.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
And one house in particular is right here in the village. The agent was out of the area, so had no boots on the ground here, and no disrespect to that agent. But if you don't have the vibe of the area, you know, you could look at all the market research you want, but there's also a gut feeling that should go along with, should I list this house for $249 and then it sells for, you know, $185,000 over the asking price? Now, granted, if you're that agent in your office, you feel like, wow, that was, you know, super. But meanwhile, it points to you didn't have your finger on the pulse, really.
Right.
And it was sorely underpriced to begin with. I mean, that's just one of your concerns. I mean, I've got several hours into it, and even 25% of the multifamily houses sold for over the asking price, even the commercial. That wasn't so much, but commercial always, I think, tends to hold its value because it generates money.
There's not a lot of
it. No.
That's good. You guys said you had a meeting with her on Friday?
Yeah.
Perfect. If you're not comfortable with the decision you're making, you got to do the homework.
Excuse me, Supervisor.
I have some time.
Can you just go upstairs?
Or how long are you be?
I don't know.
I mean, they're not here yet, so.
I mean,
I'll be 10 minutes, 15 minutes.
Yeah. Don't we have the whole rise really open?
You got it. No.
That's only on night court.
Only you do. Be seated.
No, anyway,
I'm here,
we have another engagement after that. But my point in saying all this is I'm not naive to think that nothing needs to be done. Something needs to be done, but you know, once we get past the point of no return, then that affects, you know, 10,000 people.
The other thing too is like the county legislator keeps talking about how they lowered taxes and kept it the same. Our residents keep getting increases because of the realization rate. So our people don't see a discount on their tax bill from the county because of our equalization rate.
Right. And now, you just said our residential is below 30%.
That's. It also affects going to have a state aid.
It'll affect our community. But these are all things to take into consideration, talk to Audrey. So it's.
This really should have been 15 years ago.
Absolutely. It should have been a long time ago.
If you ask me to vote on this, I'm probably saying no.
Oh, no, there was no way we could vote on it. And out of respect for Dawn.
Right.
You know, she needs to be here. You know, this needs to be a full board decision.
I've heard this, you won't get reelected if you do this, yada, yada, yada. I've never made a decision in 10 years on this board based off me getting reelected.
Right. Yeah, I could be a one and done situation.
I don't care. I want to do what's best for the residents.
Right. Yeah, in your own heart and your mind.
Yeah.
You have to, that's what they want you for. Yeah.
What bothers me most is when that tax level bill from the county goes down everywhere else and our people pay more.
Right. No, I can agree with that.
Okay.
What's next?
We good? Do we need any?
No.
Right. Yeah, but I still have. I have a list of stuff I need to do. I'll be quick.
It's fine.
So Friday we got the awesome news that we were awarded a $50,000 engineering planning grant for cement and sewer district.
That's
so everybody saw that.
Mm-hmm.
Need approval from the board for me to sign that and get that off.
Motion.
Motion by Jared, second by Brian, all in favor?
Aye.
That'll be good.
We finally get to find out what the situation is, doesn't
it? Yep. Just as a follow-up, I said I would bring this up. The board gave me the okay to sign an emergency response plan for South Lake. It was due to DEC by February 16th. So that was done. Next week, we have a tentative meeting with the school district to go over summer rec. So everybody saw the email and listened. If you guys have any other ideas, throw them out to Barb. She's willing to do anything at this point. On that subject, it was also an email. I'd like to hire Barb officially as head counselor for summer rec since she's so involved in it and we're already starting to plan that $27 an hour.
Motion.
Motion by Jared, second by Brunker. Jared, all in favor?
Aye.
Motion carried. And Liz, I have an email into Andrew from DOH to see if we have to do a background check on her again.
Okay.
So once I get a response from that, if she has to do a background check, we'll do that process. Everybody okay with that? Last week, Natasha Law from the village reached out to me about fireworks. They're looking to do a 3-year contract, which I don't think we have, right? It was just an email from Natasha.
There was only an email from Natasha.
They haven't seen the contract.
No, so we don't officially have a contract yet, but they're looking for a 3-year contract of $4,400 a year. $4,400 for the 4th of July. This is for 3 years. It's down $200 from previous years.
If I remember correctly, in one of the meetings over the summer, 3-year contract was mentioned just to hold the date, and then I think it was at 5,000. It was last year's one.
We paid 4,600 last year, the village paid 4,600. And this year it's on the 4th of July, so hopefully we'll be happy to use again. We also give over $2,500 for music over the summer. I'm kind of okay with this for this year. I'm not saying we need to approve this now, but you know, we're spending almost at $6,900 here in the village on town-wide community events. That leaves $3,100 for the rest of the town.
Yeah,
that's not great. And the memorial day parade, right? So I think maybe next year we need to, or now if we opt not to do a 3-year contract, we need to come budget time and really think about what we want to do as far as town-wide.
We do have a person interested in putting on an event available.
Yep.
The cost of the town, our part of the event will be $2,500. It's going to be a benefit for the Pendleton Library. It'd be involved Pendleton Hamlet and the fire department. It'd be a community day like in Pendleton.
But right, and which is great, but if we're again, you know, now we're spending $6,900 here in the village, but only $2,500 down the town.
Right. I mean, granted, does everyone enjoy the fireworks? Yes. People drive from farther than the village to come see the fireworks.
Hunter, Hudson,
From all of them.
Yeah. So, you know, it's the fireworks, it's just, the village, no matter how many times we ask them to give us figures during our budget season, they don't.
They complain over the summer.
Yes.
I remember that.
And I did email her and ask them if they got multiple quotes, and apparently this is the only company that does it.
Yes, the one.
It's the one that I had a connection with through Sunny Hill. And that's the only one that does them. So at this point, I would be okay to commit to 1 year at $4,400.
Do we want to wait till we actually get an official contract from
I would like to see it, but I'm only good at committing for 1 year at this point.
Table it until we get a
contract.
You good with that? Table it. I'd like to send a letter to the village requesting to have a meeting about the fire contract.
Yes.
And the four of you, the board members, discuss amongst them which two of you want to negotiate that contract. But according to our existing contracts, we should have a new contract in place by June.
And the current one's what, 200?
The current,
298 or something like that? 208, you know the current?
The 200,000? I knew it was under 210 or something like that. What are they looking for this time?
I don't know, but the holdup last year is that, you know, we require financials from what they expended at the fire department, you know, any reserves, what their fire plan was, and they weren't able to produce any of that. You know, when we had the negotiation with Leeds, we asked them for the same stuff. They gave us a complete budget breakdown. So we need that information from the village in order for us to come up with a solid budget for them and contract.
And we asked for that for this go-around, right?
No. So
they know about it.
So they know about it, but it's going to be a new ask. So whichever four or two of you out of the four want to do it.
206-965.
206, okay. Grant application for the comprehensive plan. I sent that out to everybody. Had a good meeting with the state last week. Teresa Gold, the planning board chairperson, she was there as well. That'll open up May, so I plan on applying for that. That'll be good if we get that, get the comprehensive plan done. The power line made a slight change to the route. They were going to open trench cut 9W to Allen Street, now they're going to bore under it. It was just a meeting I had last week with them. And the Memorial Day parade is set. Joey and Tom, I guess, might come on the 5th of March. Just to do that. And Brian, again, thank you for stepping in to help with that. That's all I have. No new roads? Generators?
Oh, so we attempted to use Irish Spring soap to prevent rodents from eating our pump stations in the sewer system. Unfortunately, that has failed, so we need to put out an RFP for pest control at our sewer pump stations in the East Jefferson Lake Sewer Project.
That's a town problem?
It's a sewer district problem.
Yeah.
So only those in the district would pay for it. It would come out of the O&M line.
But we attempted to save money by using Irish Spring. Mm-hmm. It didn't work.
How many people does that affect?
East Jefferson. From the Stone Bridge.
It's not a crazy amount. I think, what was the last, was like maybe $3,000.
Yeah, there should be plenty of money on it.
There's plenty of money on it, but we just have to go out for proposals.
But only those people would be affected by that.
Yeah. Only the people in the district pay for stuff in the
district.
Yeah.
So, with everyone's support, we'll ask Liz to send out a RFP for pest control for the pump stations.
Motion by Garrett. Second by Brian, all there.
I think there's a local, like Patterson Pest Control.
Yeah,
that's who we use here.
That's who we use. We just, because of our procurement rate, that's 3 quotes.
Yeah. I know Thomas is over in Hudson, and the other one from Green Truck.
Meerkat.
Yeah, and there's one out of Kingston.
Oh, Terminix.
No.
There's a bunch of them. But we need to get this problem solved because it can cause catastrophic, expensive problems.
You know, your motherboard or something getting wired.
Jack said the one on Lawson Acres got annihilated by rodents. So they can coordinate with Jack if they need to see the pump stations.
What rodents are these?
Mice. Mice, chipmunks, squirrels.
Variety of rats.
Yep.
I was going to say, in theory, rats could come there at the Jefferson Heights line.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a sealed line.
It's pressure to. My mother told me stories about growing up on West Bridge. We used to give a bat next to the front.
Anything else?
You need the room, sir?
Not yet.
Okay.
Motion to go into executive session.
Anybody got anything else? Okay. Motion to go into executive session with the town attorney and do we need this?
We won't make any action.
No decisions will be made.
No action.
Just need the reason. We need a reason.
Legal.
Threatened and pending litigation.
Pending litigation.
Second.
Motion by JR, second by Jared. All in favor?
Aye.